If you're just tuning in, welcome to First Sunday. We're going to spend the morning talking about love people. Many of you know that we kind of have a motto around here, if you will: love God, love people, live gospel, and even make disciples. We've tagged that on to that. And today we're sharing about love people. We're talking about love people, and there's a lot of importance to why we're talking about that. Before I even get too far deep into it today, I don't know about you, but I have had an amazing week. It's been just a wild week. I did a funeral for a friend's grandmother on Monday. Had a friend of mine lose his dad on Friday, a very close friend. There's been a lot of stuff in between. This will kind of, even set the stage. I was actually supposed to leave town to go out of town for a couple of days and go look at cars and that kind of stuff with some friends. And I can't even describe to you, but I knew in my heart I wasn't supposed to go. And I had some stuff going on that was I felt like I needed to be here for, but I had no idea what God would want to do. I got an email on Wednesday night of a guy that wanted to come. And basically this is kind of the email. I basically just said, I don't know you, I've never been to your church. I don't know what religion you are, and I'm not sure what religion I am, but I feel like I need to talk to somebody. I'm going through some pretty crazy stuff. Wife has left me, et cetera, et cetera. And I just need somebody to talk to. And he said, what do you recommend I do? And I said, I want you to come hang out with me, and I want to talk. That's what I want to do. If ever you're given that clear of an opportunity to share the gospel with somebody, don't pass it up. And luckily enough, we got to hang out. He and I got to hang out Thursday afternoon in my basement. He of course, again, he never met me, nothing like that. He comes, I open the door, and he's like, "Whoa, not what I expected." And I said, "All right." I said, "What'd you expect?" He said, "You ever see that show Seventh Heaven?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Yeah, something along those lines with the suit." And I was like, "Yeah, I don't have any suits." Man, we had a great conversation. God is working on his heart, and I'm praying for him. And I'm excited about what God's doing in his life. And we covered a lot of ground in a short amount of time, and hopefully didn't overwhelm him. But just ask you to be praying for him. Just keep him in your prayers. Then I had other stuff going on, side business stuff that evening. I was working late, moving machines. And I get a text message in the middle of moving machines from Aaron, and it says, "Are you coming home soon?" And it's like 11 o'clock at night. And I said, "Well, maybe 30, 45 minutes, not sure. We're loading a truck right now. It just depends on, what we get, what happens." And so she sends me another text message, which leads to something that happened a little later in the evening. "Gracie in London, you want to come up with Daddy for just a second?" And I get a text message that tells me specifically that these girls wanted to talk about something. "Do you guys want to tell everybody what happened on Thursday night? You want to tell them? You want to tell
them? We let Jesus be our Lord and Savior."
So, and I'll just be honest with you, I can't go on teaching this morning without sharing that with you. I mean, this is, and if you're a parent, you understand this. If you're not a parent, it's a little tough to understand. I know you'll want to understand it, but you can't buy something like that. I can't earn it. I can't work hard enough for it. But if there's anything in this world, I should have known she'd be over here. If there is anything in this world that I could want more than anything before I die, it is for my children to know Jesus. And what a blessing this week has just been. And, to my wife and to the people that have taught and teach selflessly in kids' church and in our kids' rooms on Sunday mornings, and all of you that have loved my family, thank you so much for that, because you're a part of what God has done in their lives just this week. And we're just excited. It is amazing to me, this one even, how she can explain the gospel to me in a way that most adults
can't even do. It's just wild. And man, I'm so happy for you guys. And we celebrate what God's doing in your life. And they're excited about getting baptized. And you can ask them all about it, and they'll tell you exactly why they're supposed to be baptized. So they're pretty jacked up about it. But thank you, girls, for coming up. I knew that you guys would want to share with folks as we kind of talked about. Okay, I love y'all. You staying with Daddy? You can stay with Daddy. I don't care. We'll see how long this lasts. This passage of Scripture that I want to share with you, it kind of leads to the vision of why we're doing First Sundays. First Sundays are different for us at 24. If you're visiting with us, you're like, man, this church is already a little strange, okay? We get it. We know we are a little strange. But here's the bottom line for us. We want to follow the Lord. We want to make much of Jesus. We want to glorify Him. That's what we're about. We're not about a lot of other things, maybe, but that's what we want to be about. And so, all that to say this, last year we got together as a staff and prayed over, you know, what is God leading us to do with the church? And the big conviction that we had was we want to, and we feel led to, be the church, not just go to church. And you've heard us talk about that if you've been around for any length of time, that we don't want to just be, that we don't want to just go to church, we want to be the church. And if you look in Scripture, I mean, that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying things like go and send and, you know, do. I mean, he's challenging us. And so, you know, we've got this little motto around here that you're probably familiar with that says, love God, love people, live gospel, and then make disciples. And so for us, that is very important because we take that straight from Scripture as what God is leading us to do as a church. And that being said, this passage of Scripture, we're going to read a few little passages this morning, but this passage out of Mark chapter 12 says this, and this is a scribe goes to Jesus and he says, what's the greatest commandment, Jesus? What's the greatest thing? What's the thing I need to make sure I don't miss it above and beyond everything else? And it's this. He says, Jesus answered, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second, now he only asked for one, but Jesus gives him two. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. So Jesus says basically two things. Love God. Remember, love God, love people. Love God with everything you got. Heart, mind, soul, strength, the whole shebang. Love people as yourself, and that there's no greater than these two things. What's up, girl? That's what I thought. Jesus takes these two things, and he basically says, same thing. This is one. You know, I think for us as Christians, we want to follow the Lord. We want to follow Jesus. But at the same time, a lot of times we don't know what that really looks like. And the truth is we've made it harder than it is. It's really not that tough. Jesus basically made us all missionaries. If you know Jesus as your Savior, you are a missionary, a minister of the gospel. I don't know if you knew that or not, but that's very true. And in fact, to the point that we've been called not just to love God, but to love people. And so for us, this is very important. And so this morning, we're talking about love people. So and so important that Jesus would, I really think, want us to, every few months, come back to this concept of what does it look like for us to love people. And so we're going to be talking about that today. I'm going to ask Nathan if he would to come join me. We're going to just talk for a little bit this morning about one of the ways that we do that as a church and one of the ways that we feel like that we can live out big parts of Scripture. And I think that that's important because if we're going to follow Jesus, we want to live out Scripture. And one of the ways that we can do that is in loving people. Is in things like micro churches. And so we're going to talk about micro churches a little bit this morning. He's going to talk about it's not a program kind of thing, and I reiterate that. But I just want you to hear, you know, kind of where this is going. I'm going to ask if he would to share a little bit, so in case you don't know what one is, so that he can kind of shed some light on that. This is a big part of Nathan's ministry here, by the way, at 24, along with Ann and Dan Saylor. So go ahead.
So, and we'll probably see this in just a moment, but we look in the book of Acts and we start to kind of try to gauge what does the church look like, and that's one of the best places to look like it. Now, we don't live in the first century anymore, so it's not quite the same. I know that it's a little bit different now, but there's some ideals. There's some ways to kind of shape our lives that are found there, and we can see an example that the first century church set, and we'll see that in a moment. But the whole hinge point of what the church is a body of people, right? Not a building, not a worship service, right? And we're wrong when we say go to church, by the way. I've said that my whole life. That's wrong to say. It's impossible to go to church. You can be with the church, right? You can gather with the church, but you can't go to it. And so this started a conviction for us that we see in the scriptures. The first thing to remember and the foundation of this is that we need one another. God created us to be in community, right? In communion with people. In fact, when we talk about sin and separation from sin, what did that do? It separated us from communion with God, right? We were like this with him, and sin separated us. It also separated us from one another, but Jesus, he heals that. And he, what the Bible says, reconciles or brings back together us to God, but also us to one another. So now we can love one another, forgive one another, show mercy to one another. We don't have to put people down and be ashamed of our sin. We don't have to gossip about one another to make ourselves feel better because Christ has forgiven us of our sins. And so it changes the way we look at one another. And now when we were alone and dead and in the darkness, he's brought us into the light. The Bible says transferred us into a kingdom. And a lot of times we look at our lives and go, well, my life is all about just me and God. As long as me and God are good, and maybe my family, as long as we're good, everything's cool. Well, you don't see Paul talk like that at all in the New Testament. You don't see him harp and harp on and give these commandments to just individuals. He says a lot of all of you kind of statements. All of you do this. And so we see that in the scriptures. And it's the basis for why we gather together. And so we have these things here at 24 Church that kind of work that out in our lives. Like we love that we can get together like we are right now on Sunday mornings. And we love that we can sing. But there's something missing here. Because any one of us could just walk right in and get what we need for the week, right? And walk right back out. Well, I'm telling you, that's not the pinnacle. That's not the top of the Christian life. And a lot of us grew up that way, or we think that way, or heck, you might not even be a Christian, and that's cool too. The fact of the matter is, though, is it changes our lives. And Jesus says, follow me, not just with your Sunday mornings, but with everything. So enter the concept of a microchurch. So I'll say this. If this is the church, which we are, we're gathered together, the microchurch is what? A small church. Okay? Kids, when I was a kid, we had these awesome things called micro machines. Yeah. Does anybody remember the micro machine commercial? Who was on the micro machine commercial? The fastest talker in the world. All right? Faster than me. All right, so he just talked, and between him talking super fast and his mustache that was awesome, you wanted to buy these micro machines, okay? And they were basically Hot Wheels, but they'd been like Rick Moranis, right? They'd been shrunk. Some of y'all get that like at lunch, all right? All right, so they'd been shrunk down and they're really tiny. And you had to have these things, and they broke really easily and they didn't roll very far, but you had to have them. And what does micro mean? It just means small. And so what we see micro churches are small churches. And a lot of churches have these little small groups or they have Bible studies, okay? And those things are good, right? But this is, we don't see it that way. We literally see these people who gather together outside of Sunday mornings as a church, as their very own church that meets in a home. Now, some of you are sitting there and you're going, who is this crazy dude? What is this crazy church teaching? You're telling me that you have church in your homes? No, we don't have church in our homes because it's impossible to have church. We are the church. Boom. All right? And yes, we are crazy. Okay? So, but here's the deal. We gather together. It could be 5 people. It could be 55 people. It's a gathering of the church. And the strategy behind these, we started to think, man, we're not really reaching our city. Like, we do a good job of getting together and being happy and singing songs. We even maybe do a good job of getting together and studying the Bible or eating desserts together or whatever it might be. But we're not doing a very good job of reaching just the people we live next to. And so the idea of a microchurch is that it's a church that's in a neighborhood or wherever, an area of this city that can be almost like an outpost of 24 Church. It can be a small church, a representative of it, so that we see 24 Church now as a network of smaller micro churches. So we start to plant churches in our neighborhoods, and guess what? As we love one another in community together, as we eat meals with one another, as we throw parties together, as we bless and serve our neighbors, what starts to happen? People start to see the light of Jesus in our neighborhoods. And rather than coming to church with us, Jesus saves them and they're part of the church. Amen? So, and it's our way to make disciples. And that's what Jesus said to do. He didn't say come to church. He said make disciples. Go make disciples. And we're going to talk about that more in a second. So yeah, microchurch meets in homes through the week. It's not a program. It's not a small group. It's a group of people you share your life with. You eat meals with. You support. You do what Acts 2 says, and we're going about to read that. So,
yeah, let's read Acts 2. Acts 2, verse 42 says this. We've got it on the screen for you. It says, and they devoted themselves. Pay close attention to what all it's talking about here, and imagine this happening at your house. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. Can you imagine having anything in common with a bunch of people? All things can be Jesus. Verse 45 says, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And you're like, wait a second, Chris, now we're talking about, you mean I might need to sell some stuff and help some people? Yes, I am, actually. Verse 46, it says, and it goes, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So, you know, this idea that, you know, we're called to be the church and not just go to church, you know, this goes further than Sunday mornings. You know, I had somebody recently tell me, as I think it was another pastor friend of mine, you know, he was asking me, he said, how's that first Sunday thing going? How's that thing going? And of course, he had heard the different, you know, kind of the different months and the Love God month and the Love People month and the Live Gospel month. Of course, Live Gospel, we go out and we serve others. And he said, how's that going? How's that? What it, did people like leave your church over that? Because he's just imagining like, you know, that's just going to make everybody crazy, you know, to do some of that kind of stuff. And I said, no, not at all. I said, now there's people that I can tell, like, it challenges them. Some folks, I think, even kind of, like, are not sure if they want to show up on a first Sunday sometimes, just quite honestly. And some of you have told me that. I said, but, you know, the amazing thing is that God has really begun to use that. And he said, you know, it's awesome because he said, you guys are doing what everybody talks about and nobody ever does. And I said, what are you talking about? And he said, you know, that we wouldn't just stay within the four walls. You're going out. You're doing something else. And not just on mission trips, but in your community where God has called you to be. And I hope that that's true for us. I hope that the heart behind it is not for the sake that we would ever want to toot our horns, but that we would want to follow Jesus. That we'd want to follow God and we would want him to be glorified. That we would want those people to know about him like we know him. When you look at this passage of Scripture, you see them eating together. They're communing together. And we'll talk a little bit about communion here toward the end of things today. You see them spending time together, building relationships. You know, I think one of the things for us is, you know, we live in this culture where everything is where we can be anonymous if we want to be. You know, we can go to church and be anonymous. I mean, I watch people come and go weekly from here on Sunday mornings, and they go to church. And when they go to church, a lot of times they sit on a back row or they, you know, they kind of try to not draw attention to themselves. Let's don't, you know, kids don't, you know, do anything while we're here, you know, that makes anybody have to come talk to us or, you know, whatever.
And we do that more than just on Sunday mornings.
Oh, absolutely.
Like you ever pull up in your driveway and your neighbor pulls up at the same time? It's like a race to see who can get inside their house first, isn't it?
Yeah. I love it when you live next door to neighbors and they're like, you know, and I'm glad I don't have this right now, but man, when you live next door to neighbors and like you can tell like they are trying to like zip into their garage and get that, they've got the garage door coming down before they've turned their car off, you know, kind of deal. They're like afraid, you know, but we you know, we're a lot like that sometimes. And I get there's moments in life where we need, you know, privacy and time alone, whatever. I get that. But the truth is God didn't call us to be that way throughout life all of the time. In fact, he did the opposite. He gives us this picture of what it looks like for us to live life together and to be there for one another, to love one another, to care for one another. You know, and the truth is none of this can happen unless we build some relationships first, right? I mean, you got to have some relationships. You don't just show up like, you know, cold start, like, well, I don't know you, but I'm just going to start telling you everything. I mean, you might do that. I've seen that happen plenty of times. But the truth is that's not very comfortable to do. What happens in a micro church is it's an opportunity for us to try. Again, we don't have everything figured out. We're not saying that this is like the only way to do this or anything. We're just saying this is a way that we practice doing this as a church. We encourage you to be a part of it because we want you to be ministered to and to be a minister to others. And that's a big part of this. But it takes spending time together to build relationships so that we can share in things. I think about, you know, we've had guys recently lose jobs. And on one Sunday night at my house, where we have a micro church that meets at our house on Sunday nights, at our house, I remember one week we're praying, I mean, like together. We're seeking the Lord, like for one guy specifically, God, give this dude a job. Give this guy a job. He needs for family. Then by the next Sunday night, he's got a job, and we're celebrating together. I mean, we're celebrating the victory of what God had done that week together. I don't want to do those moments alone. That's why I had like Grace and London up here for just a second. I couldn't help myself but to want you guys to know what God has done in their lives. And they were the same way. Like they've been like bouncing around for the last several days. Like every time they, guess what happened on Thursday night? You know, I mean, just crazy, you know. And the truth is not only do we not want to do it during the victories of our lives, but imagine like my two friends this week, who one lost his grandmother, one lost his dad. You don't want to be in those moments alone. I don't want my kids growing up thinking that they should be in those moments alone. We need each other. God created us together to be the church, the bride of Christ. And as I mentioned last week, Jesus basically left town, went back to be with the Father, and said, here is my bride, the church. Will you please take care of her while I'm gone? You know how huge that is for us? I mean, that is so enormous for us. Jesus is saying, care for one another. Encourage one another.
Yeah.
Look like you want to say something. I'll give you a chance here.
No, everything he's saying, it kind of lends itself to think about the church as a family, doesn't it? I mean, Jesus talks about that quite a bit. In fact, the rest of the scriptures do too. Like the word children flows a lot. Son, daughter, that kind of concept flows a lot. Father, you see that a lot. And we see the church as a family. I mean, think about your family. Like, what do you do? What makes you a family? You live together, right? You eat together. Like, you might change diapers together. I don't know. But you do stuff together. So, yeah, in other words, you go through really bad times together. And then you go through great times together. You celebrate things together. You all have a similar purpose. It's all for the good of this family, right? You provide for one another. You take care of one another. Everybody chips in. Right? This is kind of what a family looks like maybe in your house. And so this is how God has designed community to be. And really, when we look at what a micro church is, and I want to just say, this is not just some kind of small group program, right? This is a biblical idea that we just want to gather together, but we just call it something, right? We want to make sure that we're thinking rightly about it. That's why we call it that. But we are kind of like a family. And so what he was saying, we share things and we share our stories together. And when those things, our stories start to blend together, and they start to look a lot like God's story. And the people around us can start to see God's good news and God's story of Jesus when they see us love one another, when they see us go through hard times together, when they see us celebrate things, when they see us forgive one another. That's when we become lights. And so that's what we're encouraging you today is to, man, there's more to this Christian life than just coming to somewhere on Sunday morning. A lot more to it. You have a family. If you're in Christ, you have brothers and sisters who are there for you to be that. So we want to be that for one another.
We're called to worship God together. I think if we're not careful, we just make that only singing or something. That's not just worship. I mean, that is worship, but it's not the only way we worship God. Hebrews 10, verse 24 says this. It says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as in the habit of some, but encouraging one another." You hear that? Encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now, if we're not careful, we will say to ourselves, you know what? I'm good with Sunday mornings. I'm good with going and not really having to talk to anybody because I get encouraged. So that covers that, right? No. Why? Because what's it say? It says, not neglecting to meet together as in the habit of some, but encouraging one another. Encouraging one another. See, when we look at it as a, I'm doing okay and I'm getting what I need, we have become consumers, my friends. And that is not what Jesus called us to be. Jesus didn't go die on a cross that we would get what we need. He died on a cross that we would get what we need, and that we would in turn give it to others, that we would be lights and make him known in this world. Our purpose is to live for his glory. And that can be lived out through encouraging one another. I see this happen weekly on Sunday nights with our crew where we confess sin to one another. I used to hear that term. I used to think, man, that'd be crazy to like be a part of like people that would actually confess sin to one another. Like, it's not a Sunday night if somebody doesn't like drop the hammer on something. You know, it's like, you know, hey, this is going on. I struggled with this week. I need you guys to pray for me, you know, whatever.
I said a cuss word this week. I'm so sorry.
Yes. And
can I say that?
That's everybody in our micro church every week. But that's everybody in our church, I think, except Ann Saylor, because she's perfect. She's not in here for me to pick on her. That's just a shame. But to watch people to get to share, confess, and to be able to have that level of honesty, to be able to do that, to pray for one another, to serve one another. I mean, every week there's somebody, and I can name a couple just in the last couple weeks, but every week there's somebody that we're about to get to hang out for a few minutes after we've eaten. We usually eat together. Everybody brings a little something. And then afterwards, sometimes we'll stay together as adults and let the kids tear the place apart. Sometimes we'll break up guys and girls and still let the kids tear the place apart, whatever it is. But every week there's somebody that right as we're about to do that, they go, look, we're going to have to go. My kids got their heads spinning around backwards. We're going to have to leave because everything's just going nuts and we got to go. And so we're like, hey, it's okay. But you know, one thing that we always do is look at them and say, hey, what can we pray for you about? And even in that 2 minutes, we get to minister to that person. We get to pray for that person. We pray for them before they go. This is an opportunity for us to encourage one another, to build one another up, to pray for one another, to serve one another. Man, let's face it. Sometimes we need people to serve us. And truth is sometimes God has allowed us to experience things, go through things, or even if we haven't, he wants us to serve other people in ways that maybe you can serve somebody in a way I can't serve somebody. There's plenty of you that have life experiences in here today that I have never had. Do you realize that that puts you on a level of being able to minister to people that have had those same types of experiences? That puts you on a level of being able to minister to them way higher than me. It doesn't matter how much I can talk or whatever. God wants to use every one of us as ministers of the gospel. To further go all this, we have this mission that Jesus has sent us on, and he left us with this in Matthew 28. Matthew 28, verse 18 says this. It says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore,'" check it out, "'go therefore, make disciples of all nations.'" and baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. You see, this is this awesome progression. And I've watched this happen in our micro church. Our micro church didn't start out being a micro church. It started out being a community group. And there's nothing wrong with that. A home team, if you will. But what's happened over time is I have watched it progress as we have sought more and more to minister to one another and encourage one another, that now we've come to this point where our folks are looking at each other and saying, man, we need to be in the Word together. How can we do that? You know, one of our guys, I don't think he might be saying for someone to say who, one of our guys came one night and we had just started reading through the book of Philippians. And I could tell, like, he had something that was, like, stirring in him, and he was kind of wound up a little bit or whatever. It came out later in the evening. He just confessed. He said, guys, I know we're supposed to be studying this week, but I'm struggling to even understand what it means. And I could tell he felt like he was probably going to be the only one that felt that way. You know what happened? As soon as he put that out there, somebody else was like, I'm struggling with it too. I'm trying to understand what's it mean. Here's the point. We're pushing each other to Jesus, and we need one another to encourage one another, that we know that we're not alone. Because if you try to do that alone, and you just read some scripture, and then you just go, well, I don't understand it, what are you going to do? Fold it up, put it down, walk away. Not the case in our micro church. Not the case. We said, you know what? Hey, let's simplify it. Let's go back. Let's cut it in half. Let's read smaller portions of it. Let's talk about how to study the Bible. Let's check on each other during the week. Do we need to do that? We need to call one another? We need to do some of this, that, and other? Have we got it all worked out, perfect, ironed out, and everybody's following Jesus and everybody's living a perfect life? No. They'll tell you. They'll tell you no. But we're trying. We're trying. And here's the biggest issue with us as believers is that for so many of us, we just say, you know what? I don't know enough people to really get involved to do something like that. Nobody's asked me, any number of excuses. Here's what ends up happening. We just make excuses to the point like we say that we're going to do something like that when and if X, Y, and Z happens, and it never happens. And then we just say, well, God didn't mean for it to happen. No, it's called us being lazy. And Jesus didn't die so we would be lazy. He died that we would be in community with one another, encouraging one another, not just for ourselves, okay? For one another, for the body, for the bride, that we would care for her, that we would love her. And you go, Chris, this sounds messy. Yes! It is all kinds of messy. My house is messy. I have all kinds of people in it every Sunday night that their lives are messy. I'm a mess, you know? That's the beauty of the gospel. That's the beauty of the church. We are really the church when we show one another grace, when we show one another Christ's love, and we love one another despite all that, and we stick together through the mess. That may be one of the biggest parts of God's grace being lived out through us as believers. Making disciples is kind of where this goes. I mean, I'm watching this begin to happen. I'm watching naturally people within our micro church that are gravitating to each other and being in contact with each other during the week. What they don't realize they're doing is they're making disciples. We're making disciples of each other. And we've gotten to where, especially for those of us who have been in the church a long time, we've gotten to this point where we have come to believe that to make disciples, you got to be some theologian giant to make disciples. And the truth is Scripture says, iron sharpens iron. It's not about that somebody knows more than the other. We make disciples many times by just believers coming together and saying, we're going to sharpen one another. We're going to push each other toward Jesus. That is a huge part of making disciples. We've got things called LTGs, if you want to talk about that for just a minute.
Yeah, just real quick, because I don't want to make it sound like this is a program too, but all across the church, these are starting up. It's just a few people that get together of the same sex, and we read the scriptures through the week, and we come together, and we talk about that. Man, we confess sin, if that's the case, but we hold each other accountable. Like I said, we use this idea of breathing in and breathing out. So we breathe in the scriptures and we breathe out in confession, and then we pray for one another. And it's kind of like some people call them fight clubs. It's kind of like this small group of people who are fighting for each other. And the big idea is that we want to make disciples of one another, but also we want to make disciples who make more disciples. And, you know, the scripture that Chris just read in Matthew 28, it says, go, therefore. A lot of times I think of that as some kind of like victory or like fire me up statement that I would like would be across the top of a tunnel when you're coming out to a football game. Like, you slap it on the way out, like, go make disciples, like, go Vols, right? Go Big Orange. But you hit that. But really, as I've started to read it more and more, I've gotten convicted about it because it's a commandment. And I think it's probably one of the commandments that we disobey the most. And so this is how we want to make disciples. We don't care about growing our church big. It's Jesus' church. He'll take care of growing it. We want to go and make disciples. We want to teach. Do we want to baptize them into our community? We want to teach them to observe all the things that Jesus has commanded us. And we've got to do that. We've got to live kind of close lives with one another. And that's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Share the story. We got to share the story.
I have people ask me things like this sometimes. Hey, has your church got a service on Wednesday nights? You know, I used to go to church, got service on Wednesday nights. I could really use that midweek, like, punch in the face with the gospel, you know, kind of thing. I get that. I get where that's coming from. You know where I think biblically I think God wants us to find that? I think he wants us to find that with each other. Not being preached at all the time, but with one another, that we would meet together. You know, and I encourage you, think about this. Think about a couple of folks that you might think about beginning to meet together with just during the week. You know, you have coffee, whatever, spend an hour, just an hour. And in that hour, you'd be very intentional. You know, share what's going on in your life, read some scripture together that you've been reading during the week, talk about that for a few minutes, and pray for one another. You know, I mean, just it's very simple. We make it harder than it is. You know, here's another piece of this. You know, you may say, Chris, you know, my family, we got 10 kids, and, you know, whenever we go somewhere, we just, like, take over the place. Or we got 2 kids, and they are the equivalent of 15 kids, okay? So you don't understand. Look, I do understand. I do understand because at our microchurch, we have, I feel like, 100 kids. I'm not sure how many we've really got, but we got a lot. And you come check it out some Sunday night if you don't believe me. It's a bunch of kids. There is no need to figure out how to deal with the kids most of the time. There's usually some, you know, and somebody's usually always going to leave with, like, feeling like there was a burden on them or whatever. But that's the shared burden of the church, that we would do that for one another. You know, and so in thinking about all this, here's what I pose. Even if it's messy, you know how I look at it? I look at it like this. My girls grow up getting to watch myself and other people attempt, I'm not saying we got it together, but attempt to be the church with one another. Last week, me and the guys were sitting there, and one of them is confessing sin in his life. One of the boys comes walking in. One of the young boys comes walking in while we're sitting there talking. One of the guys, he never stopped. He never stopped sharing what's really going on in his life. And then we in turn prayed for him. And that young man stood there, and he watched all that. Now, I would rather he see that and see his dad and his dad's friends try to love on one another and care for each other and be the church growing up, that would be his example. I think there's so much power in that. I think there's so much power in that. It's sacrifice. It's giving of yourself. It's being selfless. We're busy people, but we're busy people because we made ourselves busy people. You know, we can figure this out. You go, I'm too busy. Well, then you are too busy. This is biblical. This is something God's called us to, that we wouldn't give up meeting together. Here's another piece of this. Part of the microchurch model, and the reason why we call it this, is that so that we would recognize that we are the church, not buildings, and that we can be microcosms of the church, the body of believers, during the week somewhere else, at somebody's house or whatever. So what's this look like long term? Nathan started talking about this. Was, you know, that we would reach neighborhoods. You think about this for just a minute. I think about my neighborhood because I live in my neighborhood. My microchurch happens to meet at my house. And the truth is there's a bunch of people in our microchurch who live in our neighborhood.
or very close to it. And our heart is that eventually, and we're going to have to be more intentional, and this is partly my fault because I've not led it well in this instance, but we need to be intentional about beginning to minister to our neighborhood. That's part of it. And as neighbors, we can have a greater impact on our neighborhood than some church organization. And we know that. That makes total sense to us. Have a cookout. Have people over. Start inviting them to come eat. People like food. Did you not know that? People love it. People love it. So, here's the deal. It is messy. I got a challenge I'm going to share with you in just a minute. Before we get to that, I'm going to ask these folks to come up and share for just a second from our micro church. I just posted this week, actually on Friday, hey, would anybody be willing to share? All four of them are public speakers, so they don't mind being the ones to get to share this morning. I guess I need to introduce you guys. This is Elliot and Heather Jakes and Scarlett and Brett Dawson. Here's the question I posed to them. I just said, will you come and share what have you seen and experienced God do through being a part of our microchurch?
Ultimately for us, God has used our microchurch to show us his love through others. When we were in desperate need for his love and for people to love on us and pray on us, he brought these guys to us at the perfect time. So just feeling that has been made the difference for us, just feeling loved.
Mm-hmm. And I guess, like I said, last service for me, it brought me to Jesus. And just even something I didn't touch on then, it's helped our marriage extensively to, you know, grow closer together, things like that. And we've helped people. And sometimes you don't know. You may have something in common with somebody that you never thought you would know. Mm-hmm. You know, just like at the end of the service, a guy came up to both of us and thanked us for sharing because he wanted to get involved in microchurch mm-hmm. stuff. So, you know, just you never know.
And to be clear, what you said a second ago, you actually, after being involved with microchurch for a while, you figured out, and this was from some people that just because you were close enough to them that they could straight up ask you a hard question.
Yeah. Aaron was the one who asked me the hard question. She was like, you're not saved. And I was hold up, sister.
Well, that's not a question. Yeah. That's a statement.
But I know. But I mean, she just said, are you sure? And I was like, yes. Yeah. And she was like, no. And I was like, yes, I am too. But I wasn't. Yeah. I really wasn't because I was like, Aaron.
You came to know the Lord through this kind of a relationship with somebody else.
That was something I never imagined.
And you may not know Heather Jakes, but I'm just telling you, you don't walk up to Heather Jakes and just tell her something about herself. She will tell you where to go if you do that.
I'm just a tad bit fast.
So that's pretty awesome and pretty amazing.
It's good. And I mean, like I said, you never know. And through our group, there have been several people that, you know, have come into our group that had the same problems going on that I had going on about my past and, you know, loss, grief, all the other things that I went through. You just don't know.
Yeah.
And it's good to find somebody like that has done the things that you've done and experienced it. And maybe they're where you were 5 months ago, a year ago, whatever. And you can definitely tell them that, hey, I've been there too. You may not believe it by looking at me now, but hey, I used to drink like a fish and used to do all this craziness and stuff. And, you know,
that's just the
you can
tip
help
of the iceberg,
him.
By the way.
Yeah, so. Well, he's right. So if you want to know, I'll share my story. I don't mind because if I can help somebody,
Elliot's
all,
getting nervous right
about.
Now. He's worried.
And he married me.
Well, I think Chris and Nathan hit on what the micro church is, but I don't know if they said it. It's something you can't get by coming in Sunday morning and just listening to them and then leaving. It's you develop these friendships with people you may not talk to at church at all. And like I said last service, I find myself when I come into Sunday morning, the people I'm talking to are the people in the micro church. And you find yourself during the week, you think about those people and you pray about those people and the things they said, you know, that we meet on Sunday night. So the things that were shared Sunday night is things you think about throughout the week. And you know, you develop a relationship with people you might not meet at church. And that's about it. It's like I say, it's improved our relationship just for us to have some other people to bounce things off of, and yeah. And it's, you know, they're not family, like blood family, which is kind of good in a way, because sometimes you don't want to talk to your real family.
Don't bring the real family.
Yeah, and it's not a huge, because this is making me nervous.
Y'all are dragging your issues up again. Here we go.
This is making me nervous talking in front of this many people. So with a micro church, yeah, it's a smaller group of people you can kind of discuss things with, and it's not just for families. You know, we have single people, younger people,
folks,
we have older folks that children are grown that come, and
I think we all learn from each other because of that too. That's
it's like a family because of that. So
I think so many churches, I don't know, I'm not saying that it's wrong or right or anything. I think what we've learned as 24 is that getting the different people from different stages of life together, we learn from each other in ways that we never would have expected, and that's been so good. I'm sorry.
That's about it.
Yeah, and to go along with all that, I enjoy it too, because, you know, everybody's got problems and sins and all this, and I just find it like, you know, therapy for the soul. You can go somewhere and listen to other people's issues and tell them your issues, and everybody can just love each other, and, you know, it's just nice to have a group of people there that are willing to just help you with whatever you need.
Now, I also want to say it's not like your typical, it's not Sunday school. You know, you're not meeting, opening the book, and sitting around in a circle and doing like your typical Sunday school thing. Really, ours has just been you come hang out and talk to each other. We eat, we hang out, and only recently have we all kind of got together and said, we need to do a little Bible study of some kind, you know, so we started reading Ephesians, but that's only just been recently that we've done that, so it really isn't.
And really, that's based upon, we're going to read this through the week, and then we're going to talk about it when we come together on Sunday, kind of thing.
And those of you who know me know that I'm an anxiety girl. I don't like to be touched by strangers. I don't like to be around strangers. But it's not, if that's kind of how you are and you don't want to go tell everybody your business, it's not really that bad. You realize that you do have friends there and that you can talk to people. And
you don't have to put it all on the table.
Yeah, you don't have to if you don't want to. You don't have to tell anything. But, I mean, you know how I am, and I'll share.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Scarlett, you guys came at a very crucial point and time of tragedy in your life. Do you want to speak to that? You okay with that?
So we've only been coming here for about 4 months or so. We used to go to Long Hollow Baptist in Hendersonville. Long story short, we've been married 4 years, and we've always wanted to be parents. And we had 6 miscarriages over the past few years. And then last year, we decided to try one more time before we decided to adopt. And last June, we were pregnant, and everything was going good. Finally got past 12 weeks. And in October, when I was 20 weeks, we had found out that our daughter, Gracie, was going to have a lot of medical issues. So that in itself brought us closer to God. But
pushing abortion.
Yeah. They asked us if we wanted to abort Gracie, but of course we didn't, because we were going to love her no matter what. But we didn't know in the end if she was going to make it or not. But we had hope that, you know, we knew and everything was going to work out either way. And then in January, we had her, and she lived an hour and 45 minutes after she was born, and I got to spend 20 minutes with her. That was a hard time for us, but we never lost our faith in God. And when I was on maternity leave, I was just sitting on the internet and happened to run across our preacher from Long Hollow, post a picture with Chris, and said this was his friend from 24 Church. So I decided, hey, I'm just going to look it up. You know, I've never heard of the church before. Looked it up, and it's 5 minutes from my house. And I had never heard of it the 4 years I'd lived here, so it was just, you know, plain to me that this was the church that I was meant to come to. We came, tried it out, and this is the first church we've ever came to where we have felt loved. And, you know, we've only been coming here for 4 months, and we've already made all these relationships, and a lot of them through our micro group. And then also we're in the process of trying to adopt. And here at this church, there's people in our small group, or microchurch who have been adopted who can talk to us about it. There's people in the church who's been able to talk to us about it. And it's just so awesome that God has led us at the perfect time to these specific people, and just watching it play out. And we're just excited to get to do life with these guys. And I just really think it's important to be able to have those people in your life to pray with you and do life with you.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you, Scarlett. Thank you, guys. Thank y'all for sharing with us. I appreciate y'all coming up, especially in short notice and all that stuff. I know that it's not something that you guys normally do, and we really appreciate it. I want to share just a real quick part of, I'm not going to share all of it, but I want to share part of a post. When we have a Facebook page that's closed to the public, but those of us that are part of our micro church, we're able to share prayer requests on there during the week, or we communicate about what we're going to be eating. We haven't even talked about what we're eating tonight. But we get to do those things, and it's good for us. And I posted this week asking, you know, would anybody be willing to do this? Posted on Friday. And obviously a couple, you know, stepped up, said, hey, I'd be willing to do that. These two families did. And plus some others. Some of them don't know when to be quiet. I'm just kidding. I had to say it. He knows I had to say it too. But somebody else actually also posted, somebody that doesn't come anymore, that we don't boot people off the page. If they want to take themselves off the page, they take themselves off the page, just because we haven't seen them in a long time or something. And, we had somebody that hasn't been in a long time. And, I asked if I could share what they shared, and I'm just going to share the last half of it for time's sake. But she said this. She said, over the last year, I have learned how much I took my community group for granted. At times I looked at community group, and we were a community group, so she's still referring to that. At times I looked at community group as a have to instead of a want to. But as time has passed, I have found that those people were my friends, my mentors, my sounding boards, and my accountability partners. These were people that challenged me to be better as a wife, a mom, daughter, and sister in Christ. My life is not the same since I have left my community group and miss it greatly, but I'm so thankful for the time I did have while I was a part of such a great group of people. You know, I think sometimes we don't know what we've got till it's gone, but also sometimes I don't think we know what we're missing because we've never had it. And maybe you're here today, and maybe you've lived for a long time, and you say, Chris, I've lived this long without it. I don't need it now. Well, I just challenge you to say, God wants you to have other people in your life that you would encourage and that they would encourage you, that you would minister to and that they would minister to you. We need those people. Don't shortchange yourself on that. Because here's the deal. We don't spend all this time on a Sunday morning to take a whole service to talk about this, because it looks better for us if we've got more people in micro churches. Nobody's keeping count around here. I don't know if you've been in 24 Church for very long or not, but we don't spend a whole lot of time keeping count on stuff. We're interested in people following the Lord and Him doing a great work in their life, and that is my main interest this morning, in spending this much time talking about one thing. And so I challenge you today in this way. A couple things. Number one, I'm going to challenge that you start somewhere. Start somewhere. You know, Chris, I don't know where to start. Well, you can start with, if you really need help, you can talk to Nathan. You can talk to me or whoever, but talk to Nathan or Ann and Dan. This is their ministry. This is part of their ministry. They love talking to people. They love helping people find a place, a fit, and all that kind of stuff. It may be that God's leading you to start something like this. Maybe you've got a home, and maybe you want to let God use your home for something like this. And you go, well, Chris, I'm not some big Bible scholar. You don't have to be. You don't have to be to start. That's one of the beauties of this. You know, if you're a member of 24 and you've been thinking about this on and off for a while, and I mean, really, this is inviting people to come and live life with you and love on each other. And you know what? It's going to get messy. It's going to get messy. And you know what? It's okay. It's okay. Let God use the mess to glorify Himself. But start somewhere, because if you just wait till you have something all together, or you get to a certain place in life, we're going to get to this place in life, and then we're going to, I'm just tell you right now, you'll never do it. You will never, ever do it. You're missing out. You're missing out
on something that God really wants to work in and do in your life. So here's somewhere where you can start. Okay? You ready? Break bread together with somebody else. Today. Maybe lunch today when you leave here. Maybe we're gonna have our welcome time here in a few minutes. See, we did this on purpose. We moved the welcome time to the end today. You could invite somebody to eat lunch with you today. If you're really strategic, you might get somebody else to invite you over to eat their food. Okay? You know, and then if neither one has got anything prepared at the house or is ready to go to fix something at the house, then you listen, just go break some taco shells together or something, you know. But here's the deal. You know, like we have communion regularly on first Sundays. Today we don't have communion. Because today we are encouraging you. If you can't do lunch today, that's fine. Find somebody before you leave today, find somebody that you can break bread with sometime this week. Have dinner one night, whatever it is. But whoever, whenever, whether it's lunch today, a dinner this night, do this. When you get together and you eat, remember Jesus. That's communion. Communion is done together. And that is a start. And maybe talk. Maybe say, hey, you want to meet together? Talk about Jesus? Check on each other? Look for something together. Maybe you just get together and say, well, let's find something together instead of us doing it alone. Let's find something together. Let's be a part of community within the body of Christ together. Let's help protect the bride. Let's be the bride. Fight through the mess and see Jesus work. But start somewhere. This morning, you may be here, you may have been hearing all this stuff, and you just go, you know what? I'm not even a Christian. I just came to visit the church today. This is a different Sunday. Not going to lie. It's a little bit different than how we normally do stuff. But let me just say to you this. Most important thing that you could ever know and understand is that God sent his son Jesus to die for you. That you would have the opportunity to be forgiven for anything you've ever done, sin in your life against God, so that you could become a child of God. Jesus died on a cross, shed his blood, that we might be forgiven. And if you'll believe and trust in him, if you believe and trust in him, he wants to save you. And you go, well, Chris, I don't know that I need saving. Well, if you don't know Jesus, I'm here today to tell you, you do need saving. You need to be saved from your sin and from yourself. God wants to make things right for you. Because see, what Jesus did is something we can't do for ourselves. If we get what we deserve, what we deserve is death. Jesus came along and he took our death for us. He stood in front of the judge and said, Judge, I know that they broke the law, but you know what? I want to take their punishment. Let them go free. You see, in Jesus, we're made free from sin. But not only that, as I'm very reminded of this week with having to deal with two funerals of people that I care about very much, we're not just free from that, but we're free from death. We're free in eternity. That's just part of the gloriousness of Jesus and what he's done for us, that we know that we could eternally live with him. And that's an amazing thing, because this is not for real. This is temporary. This won't last forever. And death will come. But death doesn't have to come for those that believe and trust in Christ. And I encourage you to do that. If you want to talk to somebody about that, we'll be here after the service today, just hanging out. We'd love to pray with you about anything. We'd love to really pray with you about what it means to know Christ as your Savior. I'm going to pray for us. And the band is going to come back in a few moments. But before they come, we're going to do something. This feels awkward for you right now, because you're like, we do this at the beginning of the service. But here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to have our welcome time. All right? And so, like Heather, she loves a good hug. So don't make sure you don't let her get by without getting some hugs. No, she's the one that runs from hugs. No, we want to take a few moments and love on each other. And in that time, I'm going to challenge you to find somebody to break bread with together this week. It might be that you find a microchurch to go to this week and you just jump right in. So, hey, let's find a leader of a microchurch and let's just jump on in. Let's go somewhere. Let's start today. But take this time together and love on one another. Let's pray together.